Hi, everyone. This is JJ, the co-founder of Good Pods. If you haven't heard of it yet, Good Pods is like Goodreads or Instagram, but for podcasts. It's new, it's social, it's different, and it's growing really fast. There are more than 2 million podcasts, and we know that it is impossible to figure out what to listen to. On Good Pods, you follow your friends and podcasters to see what they like. That is the number one way to discover new shows and episodes. You can find Good Pods on the web or download the app. Happy listening.
And welcome back to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. You know who it is. My name's Ja.
Hey, you know you got Dugo over here. What's going on, folks?
We got Dugo back in the building, people.
Hey, I hope y'all...
Round of applause.
Hey, I hope y'all brought those head tops.
Today, I want to go ahead and talk about week two of the fantasy football season. But we want to start off by going over some of the big highlights from the previous weekend.
Dog, big week one that happened, man. I just can't get over it, man. Just the sheer fact that we finally got football back. We had college come back a couple weeks ago. Now we had the NFL finally. Nothing is better than that. Literally nothing is better than this time of year, folks.
This is the best time of year, man. We got leaves falling off the trees. It's fall time. Things are starting to cool out a little bit. And we got football on Sundays.
And you got sweet corn on the grill. Oh, it's a perfect time of year, dog. I'm telling you.
Hey, a lot of y'all about to go apple picking soon. Get ready for that.
Dog, and make sure it ain't on no Sundays when the football games are on. You don't want to be missing this prime time NFL action, man. This is crazy right now. This is crazy. All right, bro. Let's jump into the first game of the year, all right? I was pumped up for this game. You got the Ravens versus the Chiefs. Crazy game. This might be NFC Championship preview coming in a few months, bro. Who was the biggest guy who stood out for you?
My boy, my guy, one of my favorite rookie receivers from this season.
Okay.
Xavier Worthy had a game. He had a game.
Man, he proved me wrong. If I'm gonna keep it a buck, obviously speed's been translating heavy
into
the NFL lately. And I just, I'm always so cautious about size because we've seen it with the likes of like John Ross.
Right, the smaller guys.
Yeah, if you guys remember LaMichael James, all these cats that were just lightning quick.
Kenneth Gainwell.
Just small.
Yeah.
And so I just thought Xavier was going to be that guy. And you know what? It seems like he's in his own mindset right now. And I appreciate it, man. Break those molds. Break it. If I have those contingencies about size, break those.
Yep. And I want to say that Xavier Worthy not only had a good game, but so did another Zay. Zay Flowers for the Baltimore Ravens.
Not bad, man. I wish he would have saw a couple more receptions, if I'm going to be real with you. Right now, I know a lot of people are going to be thinking, oh, Dugo, you're really high on him because, some of the higher beat reporters like Field Yates and stuff are really high on him coming into the year, but I really do think that he is the premier weapon on this team. I know that you guys didn't get a lot of insight from me coming into the draft, but I do think that Zay Flowers should be seeing about 15 targets damn near a game, in my opinion. So yeah. I just think that, I don't know. I think this was a really tough defense, one that we talked about earlier that is very heavy on man. So I thought that he was going to be able to sneak out and get a couple more receptions. So more to come for this upcoming week, bro.
Not a bad game at all, though. Yeah, Zay Flowers had a really good game, Dugo.
Yeah, dude. So I think the guy that stood out for me the most, though, out of everyone, back to the boy that I had a couple years ago, and that is Isaiah Likely, the tight end.
Most likely to score a touchdown, most likely to get a target out of the tight end, like fucking goddamn room. Mark Andrews didn't do shit.
Nah, dude. And realistically, I think that you're going to be seeing Isaiah Likely heavy and often. If you guys don't have him on your teams and he's still out there on the wire somehow, some way, go grab him right now, folks. This guy is going to be your tight end that you'll be able to fill in regardless of who you have. You'll be able to put this guy maybe in a flex position. That's how useful he's going to be for you this year.
For comparison, before we hop out of this, Isaiah Likely had 12 targets on Thursday night against the Chiefs. In that same game where Mark Andrews played a similar amount of the snap percentage, Mark Andrews had 2 targets. Isaiah Likely had 10 more targets than Mark Andrews to start off the season.
That's 6x, folks.
Yo, even if Mark Andrews is recovering from an injury, that's a really, really large discrepancy.
That's just a lot of usage. Hey, bro, but let's jump into our favorite team. Probably one of the shocks of the week, if you ask me. Not only Jordan Love getting hurt with the Packers versus Eagles, but dog, the Packers didn't look very bright out there, if you ask me. They all just kind of sluggish. I know they've all been talking about how the field was kind of crappy.
The field didn't look great.
All that stuff, and that's very true. You know, like.
But so I have 2 theories, because a lot of people were complaining about seeing Jordan Love slide all over the place.
Yup.
It was a lot of plays where Jordan Love would drop back and his legs would damn near do the splits.
Right, yeah. You would try to just push off that back foot or whatever, you know, make a strong throw, and yeah, you just lose a lot of your grip.
My theory on Jordan Love, and this is just coming from my viewpoint as a Packer fan, is Jordan Love has all the ability, it's within the realm of possibilities, that he's going to end up being the best quarterback in the league, but he won't get there until he fixes his footwork. And the footwork has been an issue going back to last year. I'm really excited to see how he works on that when he does get back. The rumors are that even though he suffered a MCL sprain, he may be back week 4, which is, you know, end of September, beginning of October.
Yep.
But his footwork is going to be the key to him being great. I think he'll be great. I'm just wondering when he'll get that figured out.
Facts.
Josh Jacobs didn't have a great game, though.
No, dude, he didn't. I mean, he was one of the guys that you're really heavy on going into the year, drafting him in the first round in some leagues.
Yeah.
I know happened. I have him in a couple of leagues. I mean, I have a lot of faith in him just personally. And, yeah, that kind of just stinks that he didn't have a great first game out. Mm-hmm. But that offensive line is also getting its kinks worked out as well. It's probably the first time that they actually played in live action together. So
that's fair.
Let's see what happens, you know, in games going forward, especially without Jordan Love, because they're going to have to lean on him, right?
Right, right.
So he's going to be probably one of the keys of the week for me, at least, as far as players that you can see a breakout from in this week 2 matchup. But, yeah, man, I think Josh Jacobs didn't necessarily make that splash that the Packers fans were hoping to get.
I wasn't hoping to get.
But, bro, we got plenty of season left. We got 16 more games to go. I'm excited to see what happens. But one guy that I did not expect to see such a breakout from, Jaden fucking Reed, dude.
Jaden Reed had a crazy game this week.
Jaden Reed, I believe, ended up being wide receiver one.
Yeah, he was wide receiver 3, I want to say.
Is that how it ended up? I thought he was like wide receiver 1.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp ended up having a pretty crazy game. I don't know if he had a better day than Jaden Reed. Oh, no, you're right. Jaden Reed was wide receiver 1.
Bro,
damn.
It's crazy, bro. Yeah. And so if we can see any sort of that type of usage in the future weeks to come, this guy's going to be crazy for your rosters, especially if you're one of those guys that got him in the 7th, 8th, 9th round. Like, that's... But the value that you're looking for.
Check out this stat line. 4 receptions for 138 yards and 1 reception touchdown. While he had 1 rush attempt on the ground as a rusher.
Yep.
He got 33 yards in that 1 rush and got into the end zone for a touchdown.
That's what we're looking for, guys. That's what we're looking for. Hey, I'm not saying that that's going to be something that's going to happen year after week after week after week. But, I mean, if you're seeing that sort of usage now, you're going to be probably seeing some sort of variance of that for the next couple of weeks, especially, you know, with Jordan Love being out. I'm assuming LaFleur is going to make this offense as simple as possible for either Sean Clifford or Malik Willis. We'll get to that once we get to that. But, yeah, man, I was just super excited to see Jaden Reed.
Let me know what you think of this trade offer. So, Puka Nacua got hurt this week with the Los Angeles Rams.
Rip.
And he's on IR. Yep. He is not going to play until week 6. They have a bye in week 5. If someone offered you Puka Nacua for Jaden Reed, after seeing the crazy game and the crazy efficient game that Jaden Reed had, would you accept Puka Nacua and give away Jaden Reed?
If I'm receiving Jaden Reed, I'm probably going to do that trade. Not only because of the production that Jaden Reed had, but also because I think we saw that Cooper Kupp was just an absolute animal. And I mean, coming into the year, I thought
21 targets.
I thought he was going to be something special. I did not think he was going to be 21 targets in the first game special, though. That guy is an animal.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, if y'all been listening, you know we've been talking about Cooper Kupp a lot.
Hey.
So my man had 21 targets, caught 14 of them, and had a hell of a day. So I actually kind of do want to transition into the new week, though, Dugo.
Dog. Hell yeah. Let's go with it.
Biggest game that I'm kind of looking forward to. Is going to be tomorrow with the Miami Dolphins playing the Buffalo Bills, right? So the Miami Dolphins have a couple guys who are out on injury. Guys like Raheem Mostert have already been ruled out. Devon Achane is in there. Jeff Wilson, we'll see kind of what his usage is.
I think he's going to be the workhorse for the week.
He might be. I was going to ask you more. Who do you think handles a lot of the workload in the backfield this week?
Yeah, dude, I'm just thinking overall when you look at that offense, I just don't think that they have a great offensive line, and so with that I think they're gonna have to utilize Jeff Wilson more in the pass game on like play actions and stuff like that. The reason why I think they're gonna be utilizing Jeff Wilson with that is because he actually has a lot more experience in this offense compared to Jalen Wright, who, you know, this guy, or Jaden Wright, this guy is absolutely sicko.
Rookie.
He's a rookie, though, and so that's the one thing that's kind of a knack on him right now. Just, I think he's going to get some usage. I bet he probably sees about 30% snap share, 30, maybe 35%. I just think that you're going to want to be keeping that guy in the backfield who you just paid a shit ton of money to upright and healthy.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert is 32 years old at that. Like, he's probably one of the oldest starting players on offense.
Dog, I'm talking not keeping him healthy. I'm talking keeping your boy Devonte, Tua.
Or Tua.
Yeah, you just paid that guy $50 million plus a year to be your quarterback. I'm assuming that in the play attempts that you have drawn up, especially on a short week where you're trying to keep it simple as it is.
Right.
You're going to put the guy who's the veteran that actually knows all the plays.
Pass protection is important.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you, especially when he's a left-handed quarterback.
That's a good point.
You have to make sure that his blind spot is protected. You need to. And so with that being said, like I said, Jeff Wilson, I think, is going to see a large snap share this week if you're not seeing Devon Achane going 100%. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that Devon Achane is going to play much. I think they're going to keep their workhorses healthy for weeks to come. And they're going to kind of take, not necessarily an L on this week, but they're going to see what they have with their backup running backs.
Right. And they won a big game last week. Last minute field goal kicked by Sanders. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in week one. They're coming in week two. It's a short week. All the running backs seem to be hurt. I wouldn't be mad at you guys if you have a lot of confidence in Jalen Waddle. Right, you probably thought I was going to say Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Waddle is another guy who I think is going to benefit from the uptick in pass targets. I know last week he might have been dealing with like a minor injury, but it does sound like he's going to be active and ready to play. And in a game against the Buffalo Bills, that's a divisional game. They know each other super well. You know, I like Jalen Waddle to score a touchdown this week.
Yeah, man. I think that you might even see Tyreek go for 2+.
You think so?
Yeah, I really do. I don't really think that the Bills have that great of a secondary. And so I think that all in all, when you know a team that well, when you play them 2 times a year like McDaniels has, I think that you kind of pick up on some tendencies. One of the Bills' tendencies is that their fucking secondary sucks.
Yeah,
I think their quarterback or their cornerback one, I think, is Tre'Davious White, who, I mean, he's coming off of like 2 ACL tears. And then you have Rasul Douglas, who isn't the fastest either. Mm-hmm. So just someone that is as dynamic as Tyreek Hill, I just think that if you can see him break away from the Jacksonville Jaguars D-backs, who I have a lot of respect for, I just think that you're going to see Tyreek absolutely eat this week, folks. I really do.
Yep. And so the Bills defense, they have shown some vulnerabilities. The secondary, kind of like Dugo said, has been kind of suspect. They struggled against the pass in week one. They allowed a lot of yards through the air. And the Bills' run defense also appears a little bit weaker this season just due to some, like, departures in the offseason. Matt Milano was their star linebacker who's no longer there. So, kind of like you said, man, I expect Tyreek Hill to have a good game.
Yeah.
I expect Tyreek Hill to not only have a good game, but whoever steps in for the Miami Dolphins at running back is going to have a good day for you in your flex position.
Facts, dog. And not to say that Jalen Waddle isn't going to have a really good game as well. We were talking about this before we started the recording, but I just think that there's going to be a lot of pass attempts. Even if they are shorter pass attempts, just to kind of work in the run game, you know, just make it so the defense doesn't key on stuff. So you might see some like really short pass attempts where, you know, Tua's average depth of target by the end of the week might only be like 5 yards, because you're seeing a lot more slants and checkdowns to, you know, like Jalen Waddle, who I would say is probably more of their check down cat.
Oh, I think Waddle's going to have a really good day.
Yeah, dude, I wouldn't be surprised if he were to see like 13, 14 targets this week. I really wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. So the next game of the week, one of the first games on Sunday, is going to be the San Francisco 49ers versus the Minnesota Vikings.
This is going to be an interesting game, dude. I don't know. I think 49ers are going to end up just absolutely shit rocking them. But I was really impressed to see the stats that Sam Darnold had this past week.
Sam Darnold versus his old team. It's the revenge game.
It's going to be wild, bro. All in all, I think the 49ers are going to, you know, just absolutely boat ride them or boat race them. I don't think there's going to be much surprise here. But all in all, I doubt Christian McCaffrey plays this week.
I don't think he's going to play this week. And Jordan Mason's going to be somebody I hope you picked up last week.
Yeah, I think that he's going to be a workhorse again this week. Also, on the Vikings end, I just feel like we've seen Aaron Jones rip up the 49ers before. I think it's going to probably happen again. So if you do have Aaron Jones, I would start him, just because in the past, I mean, he's always just been that, I think, smooth killer against them. I mean, the Packers may have always lost against them, but the guy was always getting more than 100 yards and at least being able to make those games close.
Exactly.
So, Aaron Jones is probably going to be maybe one of the keys of the game for the Vikings, and maybe for your teams if you have them.
I love Deebo Samuel once again this week, dude.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see a lot of usage from him, especially with McCaffrey out. I don't understand why he wasn't utilized more in the rush game this past week.
Yo, Dugo's the biggest Deebo fan I know.
Hey, bro.
What did you think of his week one? And not to cut off your point, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
But, like, bro, he had a pretty good game against the Jets last week.
Slant God.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah, dude, he's Slant God 2.0 for me. Everyone thinks that Slant God was Michael Thomas. I think Michael Thomas was really good. I think Devontae Adams was the original slant god, though, if I'm going to keep it a buck.
Yeah, Devontae Adams did run a lot of slants in 2014.
He sure did.
He was an OG slant god. Niners and Vikings is going to be a great game.
Also, let's not leave this topic without talking about Jake Moody going for like 27 points.
You think he goes for 20 this week?
I bet he goes for probably around 14.
I think the Vikings offense is low key.
Well, Jake Moody, I think for the 49ers, their kicker, I just think that they're going to get in those positions again this week with the Vikings defense, where they're going to get a little stout in the red zone. They're going to make some stops and they're going to have to kick a lot of balls. And I think that you have Jake Moody coming off of a really great game. Last year was kind of a up and down season for him, so really excited to see him going off onto a really hot start. Dude, props to you, Jake Moody, out there. I know you didn't win me the week in Dynasty, but boy, did you make it a competition, and respect to you, my friend.
Yo, Jake Moody was a third-round pick.
Yeah, bro. Kicker. A lot of respect. I mean, there's people respect the kid, right? So it was just last year where it was just up and down. The kid just couldn't find consistency, but, you know, fingers crossed, it looks like he has it this year.
Right. Okay, I like it. And Jake Moody is a solid kicker. Y'all know I always invest in kickers. Jake Ferguson, I'm going to get to you. I love you. But the next game we want to talk about
he's a tight end. What you mean?
I'm sorry, not Jake Ferguson. Brandon Aubrey.
Oh,
Brandon Aubrey, my bad.
But before we get off this game, bro, what do we have on news for Jordan Addison? I know that he was going through an ankle injury at the end of the game last week. Do you know if he's on track to start or anything like that? I have him in Dynasty. I don't know if I'm going to be able to start him this week. I think that he could see some decent targets, especially with them trying to key on, Justin Jefferson. 49ers typically try to take away their best targets. So,
right.
What's going on with Jordan Addison?
So last I checked, he didn't practice on Wednesday.
Damn, okay.
Kevin O'Connell said that ankles, Addison is, I don't know, it's, I don't want to say day-to-day, but O'Connell told a guy with the St. Paul Pioneer Press on Monday that he was hopeful Addison will be able to play on Sunday against the Niners.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, he might have to mix in the drills on Thursday or Friday at minimum in order for the Vikings to really feel comfortable throwing him out there. So I think Thursday's practice will somewhat matter, but Fridays will be the most important. I want to see if he's taking step in any of those.
So you tell me if we're not trying to rely on, you know, day of like we were on Christian McCaffrey, if he doesn't practice on Friday, don't start him?
If he's not practicing by Friday, I wouldn't expect him to play on Sunday.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I just, bro, what the football gods, the insider world did to the fantasy game with
releasing. Yo, that was the Niners. That wasn't even them. That was Kyle Shanahan.
Hey, bro, I think it was the insider world just kind of had to keep that one in, unfortunately. Yo,
they knew Christian McCaffrey had an Achilles well before the Tuesday after Labor Day.
Well, dog, they knew he wasn't going to start the Friday before. So, literally, when the Packers were playing, they could have told the world.
What's fucked up, and this is selfish, but a lot of fantasy drafts happen Labor Day weekend. You could have at least let us know, like, hey, bro, his Achilles is kind of fucked up in August. I mean, well, you don't have to. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
But as a fantasy player, it would have been helpful.
Transparency's key.
It would have been helpful. People put a lot of money on gambling on this. So. Yep,
transparency's key. So just keep that in mind over there. You know, if you work for the administrative department for the 49ers, you're on the hot seat right now.
Appreciate
All right, what are we going to next, bro?
Buccaneers versus the Lions.
Aw, dude.
Lions are probably going to have a field day through the air against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, it didn't look like they had the greatest defensive room. I mean, Carlton Davis is pretty all right, but he's starting to get up there a little bit in age, it seems like. Make some hard hits.
No Antoine Winfield Jr.
Really? He's out?
He's out.
Oh, wow. He's yeah, out. I would, folks, if you have those Lions weapons, the Amaraz, the, you know, shoot. How did Laporta end up doing? I didn't look at
Laporta
his stats.
Didn't have the greatest game, and he's been one of my guys who I said was gonna have somewhat of a fall off this year.
I could see him having a pretty good week this week. I know that the Buccaneers usually have a really good linebacking core, but I think right now it's like Levante David, if I'm not mistaken, and he's like 30-32.
Check. So
I could definitely see Laporta having a field day with them.
Check out this wild stat.
Let's see it.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary is dealing with 3 injuries to their cornerbacks, and safety Antoine Winfield Jr. is likely to miss the next 2 weeks.
That's crazy.
With a foot injury.
I hate to hear that, dude. Antoine's such a warrior.
He's a really good safety, but dude, Jameson Williams for the Detroit Lions is probably going to have another big game this week. What do you think?
I could definitely see that happening for sure, dude. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, dude. Jameson Williams had a crazy fucking game. He kind of year 3 breakout. It's like the Nico Collins effect.
Dog, I did not see it coming, if I'm going to be realistic with you. There's a couple drafts where I just kind of scrolled past and I was like, they have Amara, they have Laporta. Mm-hmm. I was like, I feel like they might just kind of be done with this cat. Yeah. Not at all.
I think Amon-Ra St. Brown this week has a game similar to what Mike Evans had last week. I think the guy gets back on pace. He didn't have the greatest week one. Not as many targets as he'd like. This is going to be a big week for Amon-Ra, who's the top target option for Jared Goff.
Yep.
He's going to be attacking a weak Buccaneers secondary. If I was doing DFS lineups, I'd make sure I had Amon-Ra St. Brown in all of my lineups. Baker Mayfield, 4 touchdowns last week.
Dog, I'm so proud of that cat. He's gone through so much the last 3, 4, 5 years. I'm just happy to see the guy back on the horse again and actually loving the game of football. I don't think he ever lost the love for the game, but you can definitely see that it was tested there for a bit. So I'm really happy to see Baker balling out again. Seems like he has the right support system. Mike Evans, a baller. Chris Godwin, an absolute baller as well.
Crazy game.
And let's not forget, dude, one person that I thought was going to have a bigger game and they ended up getting a touchdown, but Jalen McMillan. Bro, the rookie. There was one pass early in the game where he could have had a walk-in touchdown and dropped it. really sad. I really thought that the guy was going to end up with a walking touchdown there.
He was a waiver wire topic this week.
I realistically, if you guys are looking for like one more option, I would look into Jalen McMillan. It seems like he's probably going to get fed a little bit more. One thing to keep in mind, though, with Chris Godwin, one thing that I did hear in passing is the offensive coordinator that is currently working for the Buccaneers came from the Rams system.
Okay.
And he is looking at Chris Godwin kind of as that Puka Nacua role, quote, end quote, from what I heard.
Quote, end quote.
So I would look at him to get a lot more targets this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he ended this week with like 18 points or something like that. I think that might be the norm from him.
I think Chris Godwin's going to have another great week this week.
I think he's going to have a great year, if I'm going to be real with you. I think the amount of targets that he saw, the variance of targets, it wasn't just downfield passes like it was for Mike Evans where all you got to do is put a safety over the top. No, this guy was getting receptions under 5 yards, 5 to 10 yards. 10 plus. This guy was seeing targets everywhere.
Chris Godwin had 8 targets in week 1. He caught all 8, so he caught 100% of his targets. He had 83 yards, averaging somewhere around, 10.3 yards per catch. But he also got that elusive touchdown, which helped put him over the top.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
As of today, Chris Godwin is wide receiver 11 in fantasy football. And right now, the Detroit Lions linebackers are kind of having some issues with coverage. Usually it's against tight ends and running backs. Kobe Parkinson had a relatively decent day for the Rams against, this Lions team.
And he also saw Tyler Johnson.
Tyler Johnson had a great game. I love Tyler Johnson coming out of Minnesota 4 years ago.
Yeah, and he was a slot cat.
The Lions pass defense also got shredded by the Rams and Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
So they are still struggling with consistency. They're allowing big yard plays throughout the air. And I think that could be a point where the Buccaneers exploit Chris Godwin. As I just mentioned, the linebackers on the Lions don't cover the best. Chris Godwin tends to run a lot of end-breaking routes from the slot.
All right. So before we end up with our – before we stop with the Bucks-Lions game, give me one start of the week from this game.
I'm going to go ahead and say Chris Godwin.
Fuck yeah. I like that a lot, man. I really do. I thought that he had a breakout performance. And like I said, the comments from the offensive coordinator coming into the year – I think that this guy's going to have a really big game. Who we got next?
We got the New York Jets versus the Tennessee Titans.
Dude, two teams that really just need a win right now to get some motivation, I think. The Titans, I thought they were going to boat race the Bears there for a second. They were up like 17-0 and then just lose it somehow, some way. You had Tony Pollard get his first touchdown. He saw Tajay Spears get some touches as well. I was excited to see him do his stuff. But, dog, what the hell is up with Will Levis?
Will Levis did not look good at all. And maybe it's just the first week in the system, but his receivers are spotty, bro. Like, D-Hop, I don't know what D-Hop is at this point of his career. Calvin Ridley's, like, a cool wide receiver one. And Treylon Burks is not looking good. Tony Pollard's a week one, first week fit. Tajay Spears, don't know what he is. The supporting cast ain't great, but if you're Will Levis, bro, you're supposed to know this. You're supposed to be better.
Bro, you got Chigakonkwo, though. Like,
Chigakonkwo caught a touchdown.
He might be the brains.
He caught a touchdown. He caught a touchdown.
He might be the brains for that offense.
So actually, kind of looking back at week one, obviously, like we said, the Titans struggled offensively, which put a lot of pressure on their defense. So, in breaking down the Titans' defense, I almost want to give them, like, an asterisk because the Titans' offense was so bad that they had to do so much.
They did.
But the Titans' defense looks really good. They look pretty good.
Well, the thing is yeah, the Titans, their special teams gave up a touchdown, and their offense gave up a touchdown. So, realistically, right. Realistically, not saying that the game would have changed one way or another, depending on what happens. But they gave up 14 points. So, yeah, I think that the defense is pretty solid on the
Titans. I think the Titans defense might be as good as the Jets defense.
All right. So, who do you think has – I honestly would say that the Jets, I think, have the more premier offense if you have to compare the two. I mean, obviously, it wasn't great when we were watching Monday night where fucking Rodgers quits with 4:20 left in the game. But – you know, at the end of the day, you know, that it was just it was, that game was in the bag already for the 49ers. I digress, but they didn't look very efficient. So What do you think happens?
I think the Jets have had trouble generating like pass rush, especially without Hassan Reddick. They got rid of Bryce Huff from the line.
Bryce Hall, yeah.
Bryce, yeah. They got rid of him from the edge, so they're kind of lacking on that edge pressure.
Yep.
Until they get Reddick in there. And so that's allowing a lot of time for quarterbacks to sit back there and make plays like Purdy did in week one.
Yeah, it's not great when the 49ers have just a solid offensive line to begin with.
I think this is a great game for somebody like Calvin Ridley, who's a three-level receiver. He gets to his spots quickly. He's great with his feet, route running god. This is the type of week where Will Levis gets to stand in the pocket comfortably, more comfortably than normal, and, you know, just dot his guys up.
And if I'm going to be real with you, yeah. I disagree. I think that this defensive secondary for the Jets is going to eat Will Levis apart if he tries to stand back in the pocket and throw 30-35 targets or throws. I just think that there's going to end up being like three interceptions.
How long can coverage hold coverage?
I think relatively long when you have
you the Gardner.
Secondary that the Jets have. Yeah, why am I blanking on his name?
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, you got Sauce. You have
Reed, I want to say his name
is. Yeah, DJ Reed. And then you have the second, or you have the safeties as well, who I'm slipping on, but it's a solid group, and it's coached by Salah, so you know they're going to be great. So it's one of those things, dog, where I really don't think that Will Levis is going to have a good week. I think that the Titans, if they have any sort of success, it starts with their run game. So if you have Tajay Spears or Tony Pollard, I think that they might have more breakout games just because you kind of alluded with their defensive line. It is good, but it's not exactly where it should be. And so I just think that you can kind of take advantage of that because you don't want to try to test that secondary, especially with Will Levis, who made as many mistakes as he did against the Bears.
Right, exactly. So I guess we'll kind of see what happens with that. On the Jets' offensive side, I really like Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson looked sicko, besides for having the quarterback sleeves. What'd you think about that, bro? That was kind of wild.
Yeah, his sleeves never really fit him, but bro, it's just his swag. Like, that's
bro,
what he does.
That man has zero drip, and I hate to say that about another man out there, but, bro, as a wide receiver in the NFL, you got to have some drip. And
I don't know. What is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to do, like, the tucked in, like, sleeveless sleeves?
Yeah. You're supposed to be out there with fucking...
Shoulder pads are going to look crazy because he's skinny as fuck, bro.
Nah, bro. The only sleeves you're supposed to have as a wide receiver are tattoo sleeves.
Bro, he might have to downgrade his shoulder pads.
He might, bro. Hey, bro, get the extra
smalls.
That's
might be what it is. Like, he just got to downgrade his shoulder pads, do the tuck in.
Why are we the ones that are bringing that up?
Hey, bro, you got
Garrett Wilson?
Hey, bro. Football players, I don't care if you're on the bench. I don't care if you're on the field. You got to have swag, bro.
Hey, bro, you got to be looking good.
You got to look like decent, bro. You gotta look appropriate, bro.
If you look good, you play good.
Like,
that's,
dog, if you are stats. if you less than 200 pounds, you can't have the sleeves Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers got, bro.
Facts.
I don't know.
I respect that take though, 100%.
That's how I feel. Garrett Wilson, big game. Breece Hall, I think he has a decent game.
I bet Braylon Allen gets his first touchdown of the year.
Braylon Allen is going to be relevant in the offense by the end of the year.
I think he gets his first touchdown this week.
We'll see. But the next game we're going to talk about is the Los Angeles Chargers versus the Carolina Panthers.
Pass.
It's not a lot I like from this game. Honestly, I'm going to keep it short. The Panthers suck. The Chargers are cool. They beat a bad team in the Raiders last week.
Yep. We talk about this all the time, especially leading up to the draft. There's always point relevant, even in shitty teams. So the guys that I think are going to break out this week or at least be relevant with this, we're talking Chargers, Panthers. I think Ladd McConkey for the Chargers gets another touchdown for sure. I would also expect J.K. Dobbins to absolutely eat again. I would say from the likes of his Pat McAfee interview, the guy might go for over 200 yards. And one more cat that I have for you from the Panthers. Let me get Xavier Legette. He's going to get his first touchdown of the year.
He's going to get more relevant. If he's available, I'd pick him up.
Yeah, I just think that there's not a lot of bright spots on that team, and they're going to utilize him in jet sweeps and all the such, kind of like what Treylon Burks should have been.
This guy isn't playing football yet, and he'll be back in a few weeks. How do you feel about Jonathan Brooks as a dynasty holder?
Dog, so you're talking to a Jonathan Brooks dynasty holder right now.
That's why I asked you.
I really like him, dog, just because at the end of the day, once he does come back, and I guarantee he's still practicing, getting his work in and shit like that, I think that this guy's going to be an absolute dog. Just his talent alone is going to make him a starter week one once he's healthy.
I don't want to see him get Ramondre Stevenson.
It might happen, unfortunately, for my case. But the thing is with Ramondre, he was still a top 25 running back. And
yeah, he's startable,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe he's not great right now, but that's still startable.
Yeah, that's fair. As anybody who gets opportunity is worthy of a shot.
Exactly, man. And there's always, you know, we always talk about the possibilities for, you know, just the team getting better. Because that's all it takes is just one big thing to happen and the team just suddenly gets better. I think it's the run game because they weren't able to establish it somehow, some way. But they weren't able to establish shit last week. So I expect the Panthers to be a little bit more on their game. The Chargers aren't great. Let's get that just established, folks. They are going to be a bottom five team this year as well. So I'm expecting a lot more points out of this game than I think people are expecting. So if you do have some players out there, I would maybe look into playing them. If you have like a Chuba, if you have a, like I said, a Leggett, I think if you have a need for a flex guy, I think that he might be it. And then if you look at the Chargers on, like I said, Dobbins and Ladd McConkey are the two guys that I would look to start.
If you play in a fantasy league that does play defense and special teams, this defensive and special teams unit will not be available in probably 80% of your leagues.
I would also look into Dicker the kicker as well. The guy is going to probably get like 20 points this week.
I was going to say the Chargers defense and special units team, I think will have a big day, top five defense type of day.
Yep.
Moving forward, we got the Seahawks versus the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots and the Seahawks.
Thoughts on the Patriots? They won week one against the Bengals.
I did not think that was going to happen, but I also didn't think that T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase weren't going to play much at all. So it's kind of, I don't know how I feel about that game, bro, because I just don't think that it was all there. I think that Joe Burrow usually starts out slow as it is, and just with the whole Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins thing, it just wasn't a good game for really anyone on the Bengals, unfortunately. So I think going forward, you can have larger expectations regardless of what that is. If that's just Joe getting more comfortable with those backups or maybe the running backs getting a little bit more efficient. I do think that Chase Brown is going to have a larger role this week. Seeing them back there in the dynamic kickoff, which we haven't really talked about, by the way. I think Chase Brown is one of those guys on that team that they have a lot of faith in, especially if they're putting him in a position to be back there to take a kickback. So look to see Chase Brown get a larger role in the weeks to come.
On the Seattle Seahawks tip, Kenneth Walker has an oblique injury, and he has not practiced either today nor yesterday, Tuesday. We spoke about an injury earlier in which we say, hey, you know, we want to see your activity Thursday and Friday. Does this worry you at all with Kenneth Walker's situation and the oblique injury?
Bro, I don't know what the fuck it is with the Seahawks and their running backs, but it always seems like they're hurt.
Annually.
We're talking
maybe
about
it's the elevation.
I don't think it's the elevation, bro, because you'd be seeing a lot of that from the Denver Broncos, but we don't. So
you think like their agriculture distribution just doesn't give them, like they just only eating fish for protein?
It might be that, and it might just because they're used to running on wet conditions. So it's, when it's dry,
dude,
it's like,
I think
yo,
that's
what
it is.
Fuck?
I think in Seattle, they only eat fish for meat. And so like they don't get the fiber they need.
Damn, bro. Kenneth Walker, you got to get back to the Midwest.
I might have cracked the code, bro.
I might have cracked the code. So that being said, I'm not sure exactly if that's all what goes into it, but it definitely could be. Realistically, though, man, Zach Charbonnet looked pretty good. He had a receiving touchdown, I know for sure, that they kind of got off of a broken play. But if Charbonnet is the guy going forward, I don't think that that team is going to necessarily take too much of a step back.
Yep.
So if you have those receiving weapons, I need to see DK get more fucking targets in general. All offseason, all I fucking heard was, hey, we're going to we're going to see the best version of DK this year.
Bro,
and then the guy gets like four targets for like 20 yards.
The key with DK is you draft DK as the passing volume goes for this offense.
Dog, I just don't understand it though. Like they were talking about how they're going to emphasize this cat and then they go and do that to your boy.
Yeah.
Like, DK, what the like, fuck?
DK feels like the modern version of like Roddy White.
He sounds... Nah, bro. If you ask me, the guy is the modern version of, like, a Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
And besides for, I would say, the... Not to say that Terrell Owens was super cocky, but he definitely had an ego that couldn't fit the NFL back then, so he probably would fit in now, but...
He's had a lot of different... Like, he had 1 year where he was wide receiver 7.
Right.
Then he had 2 years where he's wide receiver 14 and 16. And then out of his 5-year career, that's only 3 I just covered. He has an additional 2 years, and one, he finished as wide receiver 21, and the other, he finished as wide receiver 34. But the funny thing is, he's only missed a game throughout his career, which was last year where he finished as wide receiver 21.
Yeah, bro, I don't get it.
It's a, like, it's a myriad of finishes for him. My rule with DK is just, hey, if I'm expecting a lot more passing volume, he'll do a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him this week against the Patriots.
I do, too.
Geno Smith is cool. If Zach Charbonnet gets the nod as a starting running back, you have to start him in your flex if you
definitely,
got him.
Definitely.
Moving forward from the Seahawks and the Patriots, I want to go ahead and discuss the Indianapolis Colts and the Green Bay Packers.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go, baby. Big game this week. No Jordan Love. Malik Willis starting at quarterback.
Allegedly.
What do you feel? How do you feel about Josh Jacobs this week?
Josh Jacobs probably going to get like 35 carries for about 125 yards. Two touchdowns.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a breakout game. We touched on it earlier, but I just don't think the Packers really had the best reps probably. I would say the week before, just long travel day and everything like that for the offensive line, so I think practicing all week together this week, not having the travel because you're at home, I think that's going to be immensely helpful for the Packers. So rely on that run game when you're at home. It's going to get loud when the Colts are on defense.
Yep.
I think that the Packers are going to end up winning this game, and Josh Jacobs is going to be the reason why.
This would have been a top 5 week for Jordan Love if he played.
Yeah.
The Indianapolis Colts defense last week, they did struggle with some pass coverage.
Yep.
So the Colts defense averaged about 8.2 yards per pass attempt and about 13.9 yards per completion. That's bad. Those numbers aren't great. You want to see lower numbers than that. But
mind you, Alec Pierce had like 2 catches for like damn near 40 yards a piece as well. So yeah, like that just doesn't average.
And the Colts also played the Texans, so you know, CJ Stroud. So CJ Stroud, you know, did shred him last week, but that's a vulnerability that I think the Packers offense could have exploited. The Colts' weakness on defense is the pass game, but on the running game tip, they kind of do get to their positions and fill their gaps. The Packers defense, I guess inversely, they allowed a lot of big plays in week 1 against mm-hmm. the Eagles. They gave up 34 points, and the defense kind of struggle to generate pressure on Jalen Hurts, even though they're supposed to be explosive and downhill this year with Jeff Hafley.
Right.
I think a fantasy star from this game could be Anthony Richardson, yeah, who could benefit from, you know, the run game not, you know, really being taken care of the way it needs to be taken care of for the Packers defense. And I think Michael Pittman, too. I mean, he's just the primary target. He could have a big role this week in the passing game.
I respect it.
How do you feel about Anthony Richardson so far this year and what he's going to look like the rest of the season?
Yeah, dude, I think Anthony Richardson's a superstar. What he was able to do this past week was absolutely crazy. Being able to run the ball for a touchdown, run through defenders to do so, and then the passes that he was able to make downfield to Alec Pierce specifically. This is a really impressive showing by Anthony Richardson. I thought his throwing accuracy was great. Not always perfect. Obviously, he did have some incompletions and such. But, dog, he looked like the part. He looked like I drafted him in the second round in my dynasty draft. I just absolutely love the guy.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson looks like he's going to be a star this year for fantasy. On the Packers, I'm only really looking at Josh Jacobs this week.
I think, bro, I really think that you're going to see Jaden Reed with a lot of short completions, a lot of jet sweeps. I think that they're going to be utilizing him a lot more this week in a lot of different positions.
We'll see. We'll see. We have to see how Malik Willis looks in the Packers. I mean, he's been here 2 weeks, three weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of things with timing and stuff they probably have to get established.
Because he got traded from the Titans after the last preseason game.
Yeah, yep.
And he's projected to be the starter. So you're talking about this guy's been in green. He's been in Wisconsin for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I have faith, and timing's a some bitch, but I hope that they can make it work.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got Sean Clifford. Third string.
It realistically seemed like Sean Clifford may be more of a possibility at the start, if you ask me, bro. I just think he knows the system more.
That's what I would go for. And trust my defense that week.
Right.
Make it up for me. You dropped 34 points last week.
Right. No, exactly. I feel the same way, dog.
Yep.
I think that the Colts are going to play a really good game, though. If you have those receiving weapons, I don't know if they're going to go off exactly like they did this past week. I think the Packers have a really strong secondary, so I don't know if they're going to get the downfield passes, but you could definitely see the volume increase, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also expect Jonathan Taylor to get a touchdown this week, too. The guy kind of fucked off this past week. So
I think he gets one, too.
Expect Jonathan Taylor to have a really great homecoming. Obviously not from Wisconsin, but went to Wisconsin for his college. So, expect Jonathan Taylor to probably run the yard, unfortunately, if you're a Packers fan.
Right. All right. And the next game we got is the Cleveland Browns versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not really a game I give too much of a fuck about, just being honest.
No, I get it, bro. Couple key guys that I like in this game, though, just to pause but glaze over it a little bit. I really like Gabe Davis and what I've seen with him, especially this first week with Trevor Lawrence. So expect him to have a larger role, I think, especially with Evan Engram not having necessarily as large of a role, it kind of seemed like. So depending on what they do with that slot receiver, whether it's Engram or Gabe Davis, I would definitely expect them to kind of just pepper those guys this week. And then when you look at the outside, I just think – realistically, this is going to be a big task for the Browns. I mean, the Jaguars do have a lot of weapons, and they let that game against the Dolphins slip away from this past week. So expect them to come with some urgency. Expect Trevor Lawrence to throw the ball a little bit better. And as far as the Browns, unfortunately, dog, for me, I was one of those cats that drafted Amari in the fifth round, and I think that's going to be a total bust.
Yep, me too. I got him fifth round in our fantasy draft, and it don't feel great. Deshaun Watson's dealing with a new lawsuit. Something came past where there's new allegations. And I'm going to be honest. I don't think the Browns are too far from cutting him. I think they have some special clauses in the contract that says that if we have more cases, more civil disputes, more attention in a negative light, we can cut you, and this fully guaranteed contract goes in the trash.
Well, so as of right now, yeah, just put a little light on it. It didn't seem like the NFL was going to put any sort of restrictions on Watson as of right now. But, yeah, I'm not sure exactly what sort of, verbiage is in their contract for a possibility for a cut and to keep some of that money. But if they're able to do it, I would assume by the end of the year they will be exercising that clause.
The reason I say that is because we're not journalists, so we don't report that shit. It's just what's accessible to us through the media. But the reason that's relevant is because long term, if you drafted Amari Cooper, you're gonna have to kind of settle this year,
unless he gets Joe Flacco again, which
that was a once in a lifetime type of deal.
Nah, dude, what if it happens again?
Hey,
dude?
It could happen again. They could trade for him again. But Amari Cooper's in a bad spot, and if somebody has Nick Chubb and they're just low on the offense, I'd buy low. I'd buy low if you get positive reports about his injury over the next month. But, yeah, the Browns are an offense I'd like to stay away from. I felt bad about Cooper drafting him. You kind of got to live with it. Jacksonville, ETN, step the fuck up. Evan Engram, only a couple targets, not great.
Really was happy to see my boy Tank Bigsby go for 73 yards. I thought I was going to have to drop him this year. Might not have to.
Yo, thinking you had to drop him before the week one game.
Bro, realistically.
That's how you know you made a fucked up pick.
Bro, it wasn't necessarily that. It wasn't necessarily that. All right, let me be clear.
Man said I had to drop him before he played week one.
But, dog, like, it was just one of those things, like, the, like, if you looked at that team last year, if you looked at the Jags, there's, like, 10% usage, damn near, with Tank Bigsby. And, yeah, there was, like, some decent reports, like, oh, like, Tank Bigsby might be in line to see more usage. But they're saying the damn same shit about fucking Damian Pierce. And he ain't seen shit this last week with the Texans. So I was like, fuck Tank Bigsby gonna do? And so Tank Bigsby leads the charge. Realistically, dog, when I had drafted Tank, it was because I thought he was going to be the replacement for ETN. I think that might still be a play. I mean, I think they signed ETN to that 5-year like tag or whatever because he was a first round pick.
Yeah,
this might be his last year.
Is it? Fuck. No, was he a first round pick?
He was. Yeah, he was the last pick. And
so
that
he gets a 4+1.
Right. Yeah. So.
He was drafted in 2021, so yeah, this is his fourth season right now.
Yeah, he was drafted in the last pick because they had gotten Trevor with the 1-1, and then with the 132, I'm sorry, they had picked ETN.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah, I think that might be one of the greatest holds of my career so far is keeping Tank Bigsby.
Tank Bigsby does kind of scare me a little bit as an ETN owner. But moving on from the Jags and the Browns, next game is the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Baltimore Ravens. Big Lamar Jackson game on the way. Big D Henny game. He's getting the end zone.
Huge.
Zay Flowers will get his targets, short targets. Raiders.
I got to see more from Zamir. I don't want this to just be my rant for the whole hour or so that we're talking here, but dog. Zamir, you got to do better, man. You let Alexander Mattison in his first week in this team come over and get more points and be more productive than you. I know it was in the passing game, but come on, Zamir. You got to do better than that, my friend. All in all, yeah, Raiders are probably going to get fucking boat raced against the Ravens this week. I expect Isaiah Likely to have another big week. It seemed like he was probably the biggest passing weapon outside of maybe Zay Flowers. But definitely the most efficient. And so that being said, Isaiah Likely, he's going to have a breakout season, folks. I know that I was huge on him, when he was coming into the NFL. It's looking like it's coming to fruition. If you held him in Dynasty, I know I didn't, I know I never got my hands on him, unfortunately. But yeah, dude, I'm so excited to have, Isaiah Likely just coming to fruition. He was a Coastal Carolina cat that I never thought he was going to make this big of an impact in the NFL, but here I am week two in the 2024 season, not necessarily glazing the guy, but he definitely had a week one to remember. And we talked about it. If there's anything about the usage that, you know, is going to be putting up flags, it's definitely the 12 targets in week one compared to the notable tight end one, Mark Andrews, who only had 2 targets.
Terrible.
So I just think that Isaiah Likely is going to be huge. Zay Flowers, he might have some larger targets this week. They might want to utilize his speed against.
He's got to get more average depth of target. He's got to get deeper targets.
Yeah, I agree, man. So Let's see what happens with that. I think that Zay Flowers gets a larger target share this week as well. And Derrick Henry is going to get 2 touchdowns. He is. I fucking love Derrick Henry. You guys know this. If you've been listening, you guys know I love Derrick Henry. I bought a shirt of Derrick Henry. I fucking love that guy.
You are a big Derrick Henry fan.
And he's going to have a 2 touchdown performance this next week. And like I said, Ravens, the boat wrote. To boat race the Raiders. Anything you want to talk on before we move to the next matchup?
I 1000% agree with everything you just said. Alexander Mattison might be someone you might have picked up. He had a really inefficient day, but he got a touchdown last week. He had a 35-yard touchdown catch.
Yep.
So I think he scored like 14 points in half PPR, but a 35-yard touchdown catch is 10 points.
Yep.
So, hey, take that for what it's worth. But outside of that, Michael Mayer doesn't seem to really be involved in this offense. He's
Brock
droppable.
Bowers had a pretty decent day. I thought he had like four or five catches. Not
he's
going
to be a target leader. I wasn't expecting him to have that. It's going to sound dumb because he was like a generational tight end.
Yeah, first round pick, tight end.
I didn't have him having the impact that he has week one. So I was wrong about Brock Bowers. He could easily end up being like a top 6 to 8 tight end rest of season. Next game, the New Orleans Saints versus the Dallas Cowboys. Saints scored about 40-some points last week, and Cowboys also had a big game. Who you got winning this game, just NFL team-wise?
Cowboys for sure. This is either going to be one of the highest-scoring affairs we've seen in a long time, or the Cowboys are going to blank them, I think. The Saints, they did look really great this last week, but it was against the Panthers, who looked absolutely terrible. So we'll see how it counteracts against one of the best defenses in the league. Yeah, that being said, like I had stated, I think the Cowboys are going to have a field day against these Cats, especially on the offensive side. Defensive side, you might see their secondary get like 3-4 picks. I'm assuming Derek Carr is going to come in with that confidence that he usually does. After a big game, and he's going to be leaving you with that smirk that everyone referenced from the Expendables or the Incredibles, where he just looks like that pissed off kid, or is it Toy Story? I forgot which one, but right. He looks like one of those pissed off kids from those cartoon movies. And I think that's what we're going to be seeing him. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the game where they put in Spencer Rattler. But I do think that is going to be on the horizon here for the Saints in the next couple weeks, just because I don't know if I have that trust in Derek Carr like I used to, unfortunately.
Wait, so they blow out the Panthers, and you got Spencer Rattler starting for him in a few weeks?
Yeah, dude, I think that's just kind of where the Panthers are, unfortunately.
The Saints?
No, I think that's where the Panthers are as a defense. I think they're that terrible to where Derek Carr was able
Derek
to...
Derek Carr looks good, yeah.
Yeah, you. Where it was like a college defense against an NFL offense.
Right.
Yeah, no, I do have a lot of faith in Spencer, though. Like, I had a lot of faith in him as a prospect, and just with the position he's in right now, I think that he's able to kind of just go under the radar for the first time in his career. So, all that being said, that's probably, you know, like one of those long shots that you'd throw in to have Spencer Rattler start in a couple weeks if you're able to make that futures bet. All in all, I think that, like I said, it's either going to be one of the higher scoring affairs of the year or the Saints are going to get boat raced.
I got Dak Prescott as a top 15 quarterback, low end QB1. I got Derek Carr as a high end QB2. Alvin Kamara gets in the end zone in this game, in my opinion. I see Jake Ferguson having a pretty effective day.
Yep.
And Rashid Shaheed is the
Wait. What's happening with Ferguson? Because he left the game kind of early, and he still has an injury designation. So what's going on with Fergie before we move on?
Yeah, of course. So right now it looks like, just checking his questionable status, he hasn't practiced, but he did come out and say that he felt good.
Okay, cool.
So I guess it's 3 days after suffering a bone bruise and an MCL sprain.
Ah.
But he did get in front of the reporters today, and he said that his pain was down to almost a zero on a 1-10 scale.
Word. Yeah, I so it's crazy that there's so many MCL sprains happening week one. I dealt with this shit when I was in high school.
Doesn't sound fun.
No, bro, it's just super aggravating. Like, it's just painful, right? It's not really limiting as far as your movement. It's all about how tolerable the pain is. That's really the biggest thing with this injury. So
they give you like painkillers and shit for that?
So I never really took the painkillers for it. No, just because I was in high school and shit. So it would just be like ibuprofen, and then I had a knee brace to stabilize it. So all in all, it's just, yeah, dude, it's one of those things where it's a lot more, like I said, it's a lot more pain intensive than it is like limiting as far as like mobility and stuff. So
right. Just
keep that in mind. So If it's a pain thing, Ferguson's going to play. He's from Wisconsin. He's a tight end. He still has a lot more money to make in his future, so I don't think that this is going to hold him back. So
yeah, Ferguson's going to be cool. I think he'll play. He's going to be a top target option, especially as CD kind of gets into shape.
Yep.
But moving on from the Saints and the Cowboys, let's talk about the Giants and Commanders.
Hold up, bro. Before we get off, I want to hear your thoughts on trading Rashid Shaheed and then him getting a 70-yard touchdown to start the season. I want to hear your instant reaction on that.
I didn't want to bring that up. Dude, I traded Rashid Shaheed in Dynasty. I traded Rashid Shaheed for Treylon Burks, dude.
Dog. And when you asked your boy his thoughts on it, what'd I say? What'd I say?
You're not about to LeBron and Drake me right now. Nah, man, I don't think it was the greatest trade in the world, looking back at it, but it's also week one, and this could be a classic week one overreaction. But I do think Treylon Burks has a... Bro, I was banking on Will Levis, bro. I was hoping Will Levis and Brian Callahan would step it up, dog.
You say...
Like, I don't know what else to tell you. That's what I thought was going to happen, and it didn't happen, all right?
Bro says, I thought it was one of those week one blunders that... Rashid Shaheed just gets a 70-yard bomb.
We still got time. Like that doesn't happen every other week. Not every team starts week one amazing, bro. Like, not every team starts week one out the gate super smooth like the fucking Chiefs.
Bro, but if you look at Rashid Shaheed's record, every other week he gets a 70-yard bomb. It's just...
Well, bro, that's because Derek Carr hates Chris Olave.
You're not wrong.
Yo, they fucking hate each other, dude.
They do.
They're not friends. They don't hang out, bro. Like, they don't talk to each other in the hallway.
I'm assuming Chris Olave is probably from the East Coast because, yeah, they just don't fuck with each other,
bro. He don't fuck with Sid, dog. He ain't a Toy Story motherfucker, bro. He see Derek Carr, you don't want to... He dubbed Derek Carr.
Yeah.
He dubbed Derek Carr regularly, bro.
I feel that.
But, yeah, I got to hope Treylon Burks can knock it up with Will Levis, and they just need time and chemistry, so... All right, and the next game we'll talk about is going to be the Giants versus Commanders.
The mid-off of the week.
I don't know who you want from the Giants. Malik Nabers?
Yeah, dude. I would say Malik Nabers is probably your only saving grace from the week if you're looking to start someone from the Giants. I think maybe. I have a soft spot for Tyrone Tracy. I know that you guys, if you're one of our Dynasty listeners, you heard me talk about him a decent amount. I just don't think that Devin Singletary was super efficient this last week, and... I think Tyrone ended up getting like 9 carries or some shit like that as it was. So let's see maybe an increased role from him going forward. I just didn't see much explosiveness from Devin Singletary. So let's see what happens from Tyrone Tracy going forward as a receiving back. So I think that's what they need to do. They just don't have a lot of explosion on that team. I think Devin Singletary is kind of a decent get some yards guy. But as far as actually, you know, turning the field and all that good stuff, I think Tyrone Tracy's more of the cat for that.
Jaden Daniels had a really good week last week.
Really good, yeah.
28 points. He ran for 2 touchdowns, even though he did not throw for any. But even on a relatively bad day, he came up as QB5 in fantasy points. I love Jaden Reed, and if you grabbed him in the 8th or 9th round, or I'm sorry, Jaden Daniels. If you grab Jaden Daniels, JD, in the 8th or 9th round of your fantasy drafts, you're pretty happy about it. He was an extremely, extremely great value for you. Terry McLaurin, on the other hand, didn't get a lot of receptions. I think he might have had 2 catches. I think that number upticks in the right direction next week against the Giants, who have struggled with their secondary. But the guy who impresses me the most is Austin Eckler. He looks like he's going to be a lock and play, solid flex play every single week.
Interesting. I was actually going to say the guy that impressed me was Brian Robinson. So to hear you saying the other running back is, like I said, just a little surprising to me. I mean, I thought it was really impressive to see the receiving work that Eckler was able to do in the short passing game, because that was definitely lacking from the rest of their team outside of, I would say, Zach Ertz was probably the only other person that was actually catching passes in the short game. So that was pretty nice, but I don't know, dude. I thought Brian Robinson was a little bit more efficient in the run game there. I expect him to have a really big year going forward. And also, the amount of times that they tried to integrate Luke McCaffrey towards the end of the game, it makes me kind of think that they're looking for some sort of spark, and that he might be one of them.
Yeah, I think Brian Robinson is going to have a lot of opportunity at the end zone this year. So
yeah, especially in those red zone opportunities, I don't think they're going to necessarily throw Eckler in there just because of the size differential.
Right.
So yeah, as far as like red zone work, I definitely think that Brian Robinson will be that cat. But I mean, just all over though, like I just seemed like it seemed like Brian Robinson was the more efficient runner. Pass game, give that to Eckler all day, 100%. I'll do that, sure. But when you're talking about actually running the rock in between the tackles and all sorts of stuff, Brian Robinson, I thought, was more efficient and more effective.
See, I like Brian Robinson. I think he's going to be super solid. If you guys were listening earlier in the summer, I had Brian Robinson. Damn near as my top 12 or top 13 running back from the season. Obviously, we need more time for, you know, people to add up those stats and add up those rushing yards and attempts. But I like Brian Robinson long term, and I think he's going to be a solid. I think both the Washington running backs are going to be underrated for fantasy football.
Amen.
Rams and Cardinals.
Rams, Cardinals, dude. Yeah, let's glaze our boy quick. Cooper Kupp.
Whoa.
21 targets. Congratulations. You are well on your way to being the GOAT for this season, my friend. Really excited for you.
Third round pick.
Really excited for you, Cooper. You're going to see 300-plus targets probably this year. So, really excited to see what happens. Congratulations to you, Ja.
I got him in our redraft league.
You sure did.
Yep.
Sure did.
Puka Nacua, he's out for 4 weeks. Injury. How do you feel about Puka rest of the season?
I think he's going to be solid. I think that you're going to see him still crack into that top 30 wide receiver ranking. But obviously missing 4 weeks, that's not going to help him in any favors at all. But no, dude, I think that offense is going to unfortunately be down often just because I think their defense is kind of a mess right now. So I think their offense is going to be playing from behind. So that just means more passing. And so, yeah, like if you have like a Kyren Williams, I think that he's going to be pretty effective this year, but I don't think he's going to be like the wide or the running back 3-4 that we had last year, especially with the additions that they've made.
I like Kyren Williams too. I think he was underrated.
I thought he was underrated coming into last year, but I think, yeah, he was kind of overhyped, especially with the addition of Blake Corum. I know he didn't play really much at all this past week, but yeah, considering what they did with Kyren Williams, where they kind of eased him in, if Ronnie Rivers takes any sort of dip at all this year, I think that Blake Corum is going to be that number two and might end up being the number one depending on how efficient he is.
Right. I like Marvin Harrison more this week than what he performed as last week.
Whoa, dude, crazy transition. But I respect it. I think Marvin Harrison getting one catch off of like 4 yards or whatever the hell it was.
It wasn't great, dude. It wasn't a really good look for him.
No. So, yes, I definitely believe that the offensive coordinator is going to have to make sure that he integrates him into the system, even if it is force-fed, even if it is jet sweeps. You just got to get the ball into your playmaker's hand.
Yeah,
dude.
Do.
You do. I really thought that all three running backs for the Cardinals looked really good, though, if I'm going to be honest. James Conner looked great. You had DeMarcado look pretty solid. And then you also had Trey Benson take a couple drives on his own as well. So if you are kind of stretching yourself for a running back, and if you don't have James Conner, or even if you do, you might want to pick up Trey Benson as your...
He should be on every roster in every fantasy football format.
I think that this guy is going to be pretty impressive going forward.
Bro, I like James Conner a lot, but he looks kind of slow. Like, he doesn't jump cut the way he used to.
I feel like I understand what you're saying. I also felt like a lot of the plays were developing really slow for him as well, and he was just trying to find his blockers. So I know what you mean, but I also think that the plays were kind of slow developing.
Trey Benson needs to be on every roster by week two. He should have 100% roster ownership. Kyler Murray is another guy who's been kind of going through it in the media, just like he does every week. But I like Kyler Murray a lot this year. I love him this week versus the Los Angeles Rams. Jared Verse is the rookie linebacker for the Rams, who had a really good showing out in week one. I'm excited to see Kyler Murray decide on whether or not he's going to rush the ball or pass the ball. He's versatile. He's talented. He always racks you up enough points to consider yourself top 10, top 12 at quarterback. And I think he's in for a special season. I think him and Marvin Harrison will get that connection going sooner than later. If it don't happen next week, if it don't happen by this week, next week, I think it'll all click and Marvin Harrison will start to provide more value for you and your fantasy team.
Yeah, I didn't understand the hype of him going in the first round in these redraft leagues, if I'm going to be honest.
That was way too early. Second round was too early.
Yeah, I think that he's going to end up being like a top 30 wide receiver this year, but when you just look at the efficiencies of that team, like, I'm sorry, there's just not enough places when you have like a Jalen Waddle, a Tyreek Hill on a Dolphins offense where there's enough places for a Marvin Harrison to fit inside the top 15s. I'm sorry. I think that this guy is going to be at most a top 20, and that's if this guy gets bottle fed 20 targets a game. Like, I'm sorry, but those defenses are keen on him because he's the only target on that team outside of James Conner and the running backs and Trey McBride, which pretty decent. Pretty decent.
It's not bad. Trey McBride is going to be a top five tight end for me this year.
I think so. Yeah, if you didn't see it this week, I think you could definitely see it in weeks to come.
Next game is the Steelers versus the Browns. Not really a lot to report from the Steelers. Justin Fields does have the start as the quarterback, it looks like.
George Pickens.
How do you feel about GP?
George Pickens looked great. All it took was just a baller to throw him the ball. For him to be,
you saying Kenny Pickett wasn't a baller?
I am saying Kenny Pickett wasn't a baller. I'm not necessarily saying that Justin Fields is necessarily a baller as well, but at least he came from the A.
By definition, that's hate. By definition, that's hate.
But by definition, he is a baller because he came from the A. So I will give him that at least.
All right.
But no, dude, I think that George Pickens is going to be the bright spot on this team once again. Yeah, dude, I'm so excited to see what happens. Regardless of the quarterback, you know that deep passing game is for real this year. You saw it twice, maybe three times this year, with George Pickens in just that first week. So yeah, he might have a really great connection with Justin Fields and that might just be it. But when Russell comes into play, I don't think that the deep passing game is going to take much of a dip if he were to come in.
Cortland Sutton was a wide receiver for the Broncos who saw a lot of targets. We talked about Cooper Kupp and how many targets he got.
Yeah.
Cortland Sutton did see double-digit targets as the wide receiver one for Sean Payton's Denver Broncos offense. In week one, he saw 12 targets and only caught four of them.
Right.
Next week, I don't know what that's going to look like against Joey Porter Jr., who's likely to shadow him across the field. But Cortland Sutton is going to get a lot of targets, and Bo Nix is going to get better by the game. I think by mid-season, Cortland Sutton is going to be a relatively reliable low-end wide receiver two for you week to week. And if you can buy low on the guy in the first month of the season, and you're in a good position, meaning you can afford to buy low on him, you can afford to give up players to get him in return, bro, I think you're going to go ahead and be happy about it come the fantasy playoffs. Quick reference for the fantasy playoffs. Cortland Sutton goes on bye in week 14. I believe the playoffs start in week 15 and he gets the Colts, which is a relatively easy matchup right now. And in week 16, he might get the Chargers, who potentially, kind of like Dugo said, could be out of playoff contention. They're tanking, right? They're playing second stringers. And week 17, you know, he'll get the Bengals and we'll see where they're at that point.
We'll see what happens with that Chargers game just because it usually seems like they play them tough because it is a division rivalry game.
Yep.
But nonetheless, yeah, I think they are kind of a weaker opponent. I do like Cortland this year. I do. I just don't know how I feel about Bo Nix all that much, though. I think that he's going to be kind of effective. He probably will end up being like a top 25 quarterback when you're looking at fantasy numbers all in all. But I think a lot of that's going to be coming from his rushing advantage. So I don't know how I feel about him as a true passer as of right now. But if you do need to rely on someone in that team, like we say every year, There's always points to be made. And so Cortland could be that cat. I could also see Greg Dulcich, who was a big, big guy I used to prop up in the past. I think it might also be his.
He might pop out.
Finally. Fucking A.
All right. I would be happy for you if it happened. Now we want to talk about the big games of the week.
Big.
Now we want to go ahead and talk about the big players of the week.
Big.
We are going to go ahead and kick off the Sunday night and the Sunday premier PM games. The first one's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Cincinnati Bengals.
Whoa.
Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, T. Higgins.
Allegedly T. Higgins.
But we got a lot of fantasy players that you guys drafted in the first four rounds of your fantasy football drafts. Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes are two of projected, at least, to be the top six, top seven quarterbacks in fantasy. Now, what's important to remember about the Bengals and the Chiefs matchup is the Chiefs have a solid pass defense. It is anchored by the secondary, even without Legarius Sneed, and they got a pretty strong pass rush led by Chris Jones. I doubted that same defensive line last week. I learned my lesson. With the run defense, the Chiefs' run defense is decent, but it could be vulnerable against powerful running backs, right? So that's where a Zach Moss might pop in. That's where Zach Moss might be able to go ahead and get a couple inside gap runs, get a couple inside rush runs, try to go ahead and maybe overly target Chris Jones once again to tire him out early in the game. But in terms of fantasy players from this matchup that, you know, I'm really looking at, hey, dog, I think Ja'Marr Chase kind of bounces back. He had a bad first week. I think Zach Moss gets an opportunity to get in the end zone with a couple gap rushes. And Joe Burrow, who I don't normally love. Teams that draft Joe Burrow typically don't make the playoffs. Hint, hint, Dugo.
Bitch.
But I do think Joe Burrow steps it up. This is his primetime game. This is the game where he has to be firing from all cylinders. I think he's solid this week.
Yeah, just assuming that Jamar's over that sickness, or at least like 80% over that sickness, I would assume that he's going to be playing in more of a full capacity. I'm not sure what his snap share was last week, but I didn't think it was all that much. But yeah, man, it all just depends on what happens with T. Higgins, man. They just don't really have like that second guy anymore. If he's out with, you know, Tyler Boyd going to the Titans. So it's just those two. So if there's one out, you can just double team the other guy so easily. And
right.
Obviously Joe Burrow is an absolute menace when it comes to throwing the football. But it does take two to tango. So you do need guys that can catch the ball. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He can't fucking, you know, make something happen with people like Geronimo Allison and shit like that, all right? So let's see what happens this next week. I expect Ja'Marr Chase to be at full health or at least closer to it. And if T. Higgins were to even think about playing, I honestly think that he might get a touchdown, dog. I think that T. Higgins is going to be a beast this year. He and Ja'Marr are working for new contracts, so that's why I drafted Joe Burrow, is because I assume that he's going to be force-feeding those cats like crazy.
Yeah, you would expect that. I want to see T. Higgins get healthy. This would be a game where he kind of rushes things along to go ahead and make sure he's on the field. But, yeah, no, I mean, I think this is going to be a game where the Chiefs on the other end for offense, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot.
Yeah.
The Bengals have a good rush defense. Trey Hendrickson is coming around the edge and stopping whatever outside zone runs you think you're running.
One thing they are missing now, though, is DJ Reader. DJ Reader is not on that team, so are a little a little vulnerable up the middle. So I do expect Isaiah Pacheco to have a good game from the Chiefs.
I disagree with you.
I think that he's going to have a great game. I also think that Chase Brown from the Bengals is going to have a more effective game than he did last week.
Why more effective than Zach Moss?
Because I think that they're going to have to utilize him in the pass game, dog. Especially when you get against the Chiefs, there are just a lot of holes that are able to be exploited. And so when you're playing man coverage and you have a wide or you have a running back coming out of the backfield like that, even if you can get a little bit of an angle off of a linebacker or even a safety if they might not be positioned correctly, you can get a really big game off that. Chase Brown, like I had stated earlier, he's a part of that kickoff team, so he's obviously one of the more dynamic players on that team. So I expect Chase Brown, with all of his tools, he's able to break tackles, catch passes. He has really great acceleration. So I think just utilizing those talents is going to be effective this week against the Chiefs when they're playing man defense against you.
Right. Yeah. I think the Bengals defensive line will hold it down versus the run, and they'll force Mahomes to figure it out. We'll see if Hollywood Brown plays in week two.
Doesn't sound like it, which I'm all right with. I had drafted him in the league, and realistically, I still think that the guy is going to end up being like a top 40 wide receiver, even if he were to miss 3 weeks. Like, the guy's going to be really great. If you looked at what he was able to, when you look at what Patty was able to do with Xavier Worthy already, that's a rookie that, you know, obviously he's really smart drafted in the first round, but
right.
When you look at Hollywood Brown, who also really smart drafted in the first round, but also has been in the NFL for how many years and, you know, probably gotten a little bit of street cred from Patty Mahomes from all of his years and, you know, either Arizona or over in Baltimore, you know, he knows Hollywood. So I don't know. I just expect him to be a large contributor once he gets back.
Hell yeah. All right, and what about Travis Kelce? What do you think he does this week? Bad week, not the greatest week last week.
No, he'll get a touchdown this week. He'll get a touchdown this week for sure. They need to get him relevant. I think he saw like 4 targets. I'm assuming against a linebacking core like the Bengals. I believe they've lost a couple guys, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I just think that Travis Kelce is going to be able to kind of utilize those holes. I just think that it's going to...
I think he's going to have a great... He's Mahomes' favorite target.
It's just one of those things, dog. Like, it was one of the reasons why that conference game all those years back, 2 years back, was so dynamic, was because Travis can just find all those holes in the secondary. So, I don't know, especially against this Lou, I forgot his last name, but he's the defensive coordinator for the Bengals. He's a really, I don't know, man, he's able to effectively understand what's going on. I am excited to see what's going on in this game.
Lou Anarumo.
Lou Anarumo. Yeah, he's one of those Italian motherfuckers that are on the Pat McAfee show every once in a while.
Anarumo.
I think that he's going to be able to play this team pretty effectively. Obviously, defensive backs are always a question when it comes to playing Mahomes, but let's see what happens, man. I'm really excited. I really am.
Right. And next game we got is Chicago versus Houston. Caleb Williams versus CJ Stroud. Number one pick versus number two pick. Chicago got a sneaky win last week against the Titans, and Houston out just performed the Indianapolis Colts last week. Tank Dell is a motherfucker who I need to pop off. I have a lot of stake invested into Tank Titans. Dell.
They outplayed the Titans, not Colts.
No, Chicago beat the Titans and Houston beat the Colts last week.
Oh, okay. My bad. My brain fixed or switched those up.
Yeah. No, but Tank Dell against the Chicago secondary should be solid. Jalen Johnson, the cornerback for Chicago, likely shadows Nico Collins or Stephon. Actually, I think he shadows Stephon Diggs.
I don't think there's going to be much shadowing. Realistically, when you look at that Texans wide receiver core, I think that you just make sure that your defensive backs are comfortable defending a side.
You think Montez Sweat gets home often enough against CJ Stroud to make a difference?
I think he does make a difference in the game, yes. I think he's very dynamic, and I think that the offensive line for the Texans does have some weak points. They do have a really good offensive tackle game, though. I mean, when you look at Laremy Tunsil, he's the blind spot at left tackle. I forgot who the right tackle is, but I think they recently invested in him. And so I have faith in them to be able to mix in the run enough to make sure that Montez Sweat doesn't have an absolute beat on when they're passing the ball outside of obviously like third and long situations.
Right, exactly. Caleb Williams versus CJ Stroud should be a show out. That's going to be an evening game here in America. And, you know, with pass defense, the Bears have struggled with their pass defense a bit. They allowed some big plays last season. Last week was better, but they played Will Levis. We'll see what happens with that.
Yep.
And the Texan secondary for their defense has been the weaker point, mostly with issues in coverage and tackling.
And they had some injuries this week, and I believe they re-signed Desmond King or something like that.
Yeah. Now,
and he's an old vet, so I'm assuming he's probably going to get cooked if he does play.
Both teams have struggled against rush defenses as well, or I guess they both defenses have struggled against rushing offenses as well. And so this creates an opportunity for Caleb Williams to get more rushing yards than maybe he saw against the Titans last week. Who I said earlier, the Titans might have a top five, top six defense. Like, they held it down. They scored 17 points without without Will Levis scoring a touchdown.
I don't know if it's going to be Caleb Williams that benefits from that. Realistically, I think it's a guy that you had brought up earlier this year when we were talking. I think DeAndre Swift is going to be able to, you know, take advantage of that as well. And even Roshan Johnson. I think Roshan Johnson, when they get into these red zone situations, if they aren't doing good against the rush, why not utilize your, full head of steam, Roshan Johnson going up the middle?
The best running back from this game will be a top five or top six running back in fantasy this week. That's my bold proclamation for this week.
Hell yeah.
Last game of the week is
Monday night.
Philadelphia Eagles versus Atlanta Falcons. Dugo, who you got winning this game?
Eagles. 100% Eagles. I think the Eagles continue on the tear that they were not able to continue a year ago. Yeah, dude, I just think the Eagles team is really good, especially what we saw from the Packers game. Obviously some holes, but that's week one in a huge different situation, so we'll see what happens. But I just don't think Kirk Cousins looked great on the offensive end for the Falcons, so I think the defense for the Eagles is going to be able to make a lot of plays, whether that be sacks, because they're able to eat up Jordan Love, who's a lot more agile. So I can only imagine what happens to Kirk Cousins, who was pretty much a statue last week. And then I also think that the Eagles just have more playmakers against a secondary that is kind of aging. Yes, they're good, but aging. You have like a Justin Simmons, who was a vet from the Broncos, who's playing safety for them, who, yeah, is good and probably can make at least, a beat on a ball every once in a while when he can read the play. But if there's any sort of dynamic players that are running past them, they're running past them.
Yeah, it's not going to be hard to stop.
No, so when you have like an A.J. Brown, a Devontae Smith, all those cats, and you also are putting in Jahan Dotson now in that offense, let's not forget him, folks.
We talked about that Atlanta Falcons defense and secondary.
I think that they can just eat them up.
Yeah.
So maybe Saquon doesn't have as huge of a game, but you can definitely still see points being put on the board by this Eagles offense.
Breaking down the Eagles and the Falcons game, because this is going to be a standalone Monday night game. Some of y'all might put some bread on the game for a bet or something like that. The Eagles run defense allowed about 7.8 yards per carry against the Packers. So while Josh Jacobs wasn't excellent, they did have guys in the backfield who were able to go ahead and, kind of hold that down. Emmanuel Wilson was a guy who was able to go ahead and average a lot of yards per carry. So the Eagles rush defense didn't perform as well, but, we'll see how they hold it down this week versus Bijan Robinson and the Atlanta Falcons offense. Inversely, for the Falcons defense, their secondary has been an area of concern that we've talked about since the summer. And guys like Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, they might feast this week. Jalen Hurts, for me, is, as always, a must start. I love both the receivers for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you're starting in at least, one or two Atlanta Falcons, players, I like Bijan Robinson this week to maybe go ahead and target the rushing inefficiency that the defense has on Philadelphia's tip. But I also don't hate Darnell Mooney. That's my flex bold start of the week, Darnell Mooney. Drake London's not great. He's going to get his targets. He's going to, take defensive attention away. Darnell Mooney's a burner. He's going to get downfield. Kirk Cousins is going to have to throw it to him a few times a game. And Philadelphia plays a very aggressive defense. They blitz a lot, right? They believe in their D-line. They believe in their coverage skills. Maybe you can catch a deep pass with Darnell Mooney while Drake London's being double-teamed. That's my theory on that. That's my bold start of the week. Once again, Darnell Mooney. But outside of that, that is the breakdown of all 16 NFL games this year. Or this week, at least.
Woo!
Listen, this was a long podcast. We appreciate you guys for listening this far. If you have not already, please just subscribe to the page. It takes a second. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell for you so you get our push notifications. But we are eternally grateful for your love, for your support. My name is Ja.
Hey, you know, it's Dugo over here. Appreciate y'all tapping in with those head tops.
We'll talk to y'all in week 3. Good luck until we talk to you again. And peace.